Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
There you go. Yep. Feels good after a while too, probably, right?
I just ditched my winter beard like a week ago, so.
Yeah. How's that feel?
I look in the mirror and I look younger, so. I guess, and that's actually why I grew the beard out, because I kept going into these meetings and with all these people who were above the age of people who were 60. Or yeah. Older, and they're looking at me like, who's this kid?
They're always making those comments, right?
Sometimes. The interesting thing, and I'm still not sure exactly like how to take this, but somebody, because I already did a lot of communicating over email and stuff, so when I do audits, that's the first time I meet people in person. And she was like, from your emails, I thought you would be much older. And I'm like, okay. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
I would take
Apparently,
it as a good thing.
I write emails like an old man, so.
I'd take it as you're typing out your communications very well, and they weren't
exactly
expecting to see a young guy come in with that well of a typed out email, probably. it takes skill to write a communication, you know, so.
It's always good to be a studio younger, so.
Yes. All right, well, what I usually like to do, is, especially since there's new faces, I like to introduce everybody by giving the information you guys sent to me before we got started for the show, for episode number 7 of the Dinner Table Show. And that is, first on my docket is Antonio. Hi, Antonio. How's it going? The game he's into right now is Level Head. He's actually doing a review on that for the Nintendo Dads, and he's playing Animal Crossing. And something about him that someone would think that he made up is, many moons ago, he was a member of the under 17 U.S. national soccer team.
Yeah, that was talk about many moons. Yes, very very long time ago. But yeah, that is something that typically people wouldn't expect. When I told them that story.
Yeah. So are you still into soccer at all?
I, to be honest, haven't played much these days, but like, my son's been wanting to kick the ball around in the backyard recently. So it's sort of ignited that a little bit, again. So, you know, maybe here in the near future, I'll pick it back up.
I see a future coach going right now, right there. Future, little league coach there. All right. Next up on the docket is Chris. Welcome back, Chris, the second time. And he's also playing Animal Crossing like the rest of the world and lots of SNES games.
Like, yeah, what? Thanks for having me again, Tim. It's been this is a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. I wrote a piece on the Nintendo website. And so I kind of went back and looked at all the SNES games that I wanted to have brought onto the Switch. Because they've got a good selection on there, but there's a little lacking, especially I think you and I connect on the sports side. I'd like to see a lot more sports games, but I was big into SimCity when I was younger. I used to play that a lot, kind of a little same on the Animal Crossing side. So you can see the connection there. NBA Jam, that I love playing NBA Jam. I could go on that forever. And then course, my new Crusade, NHL 94. I'll play that wherever I can. And that was one definitely in college. We used to get a bunch of us at in the dorm and just go out for hours. Loved NHL 94.
Yes, that's definitely one of those games where I remember we would get try to find, because you could do eight players in that one, right? If you had the two,
yeah,
two connector, four player connector things,
right?
You could do up to eight players.
Yeah.
Oh, and we would, you know, we're trying to find that second one for somebody. We always had one, but never had the second one.
Yeah, the most we ever got was four. Yeah. And you'd often find the fourth player somewhere off on the other side of the rink. So the best was really the two-on-two. And you would just do grudge matches. And I had a friend who would run up the score like crazy. So every time we would go head-to-head, I really just want to beat him because I had all those. He would, like, 13 or 14 to 2, and he's still trying to score. And they're like, oh, man, he's just rubbing it in now.
Punk.
But exactly. And you hate that. But all the more you wanted to beat him next time.
Yeah, Madden 94 too for me. It like is one of the first sports games that I really loved. And International Superstar Soccer was another one that I loved. That was a little bit later though. That was on 64. But yeah, love those old school sports games for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm with you on the sports games. And you just made me think of something too. You know how EA is kind of, you know, saying, yeah, we're gonna bring more games over. Wouldn't that be kind of something if they were working in the background with Nintendo to add that to the Nintendo Online? Some of those old EA games.
I would love that so much.
Mira Lemieux is running a tournament. Well, the site that's running the tournament, they're doing it online, and they're partnering with Mira Lemieux, who coincidentally is in the game.
Yeah.
And so everyone paid $20 to enter the tournament, and all that money went to cancer research, the Mira Lemieux Foundation. Nice. I can't see why players, I know that this is like licensing is an issue in a lot of the games that I would want to bring to Switch now. You know, you'd have to get the league, the right. Players Association on side, but hey, if they could do it, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of the same issue with the GoldenEye when they did the remastered version back in what, 2000 something. But they couldn't use the Pierce Brosnan Bond. They had to use the new Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, Daniel Craig in that one. So, which was weird, but they were able to still use some of the other assets at least. So, that's why I always wondered if they would bring Madden, you know, 94, 95, or 96, or any of those over, or NHL 94 over, and they with a newer roster where they had those permissions still because we were in cahoots with the leagues, then maybe that would work. But
it'll be a little bit easier with the older game too, because you don't have to change the textures all that much. You know what I mean? You can like perhaps tweak them a little bit depending on the overall player, but it's more like names and roster update that you would need to keep in touch for the old school games if you wanted to modernize them, for instance.
Yeah,
it'd be something. In the case of NHL 94, there's a couple people who've hacked the ROM, and you've got all the current rosters, all the current teams.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool how they've even animated the logos and everything for the new teams.
That's awesome. I could have a whole show on that probably. So
probably could, yeah.
All right. So next up, we have Sam, of course, the third strongest mole. He's currently playing XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. And you're using an Iron Man model, I guess. Is that what you had in your notes there, Sam?
Yeah, Iron Man.
And you're... You're thinking maybe there might be Nintendo characters when XCOM comes over, probably?
Well, I don't know if you saw this. I shared on the Discord. I was messing with the character editor and trying to do close as I could to replicate some Nintendo characters, but reimagine them as these XCOM characters. So I've still got some of them. Luigi is actually my number one medic right now. He's all the way promoted, so he survived a lot of missions.
Tim, what's Iron Man mode?
So Iron Man mode is you get one save, and every time you take a turn, it overwrites. So you basically cannot go back. No take backsies.
Brutal.
And that is, yeah.
It's pretty intense, and sounds I have like torture. Playing on the second highest difficulty. and I have restarted twice. Yeah. But it's interesting because if you've played XCOM or seen anybody play XCOM, it does have permanent death for characters. So if somebody dies on a mission, that's it. Now, sometimes when somebody's health goes to zero, they'll bleed out. And if you can get a medic over there and heal them in time, they'll survive. But they will be wounded for a while. I started not playing on Iron Man because I'd never done that because it's intimidating. But I played this mission, I had my whole team wiped, and then I reloaded my save, and I beat it, like, flawlessly. And it felt empty. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do Iron Man. So it's been a lot of fun. It's added that extra layer. Because I played through the original XCOM 2 campaign some time ago after the game came out. I played some when the expansion, that's War of the Chosen, came out. And that was, I got to a point where I could kind of see all the new content, and then I just kind of dropped the campaign. I never played through. So, yeah, I got back into that, and it's been a load of fun. So anybody looking to pick that up on Switch May 28th, it's on the way.
There's a little bit of that, like, that healing aspect in the Banner Saga trilogy as well, like, where you may have, like, a character perish or, like, come close to death. But then you'll, like, they'll have to sit out the next, like, X number of battles. For instance, they'll, like, healing up, and they can come back into the party.
Yeah, the other interesting thing, too, and this is something I never even experienced on a past playthrough, because usually if I lost somebody and they were, you know, like, one of my best people, I would usually reload the save. But I had a mission end in failure, and I think two of my units escaped. One of them died. It was actually Captain Falcon. He died. Sorry. Rest in peace, Captain Falcon. And then the rest of them, the other three of them, were captured. So units can be captured instead of killed. And if that happens, you might get a mission later on where you get to rescue them. So I had that happen for the first time. I'm still waiting to rescue Tom Nook, though. That loss is breaking my heart.
That's crazy.
Can't take him out, right?
What was that, Elvis?
You got taken by Red, that guy that gives you fake paintings. I think it's his name, right? Yeah, he's got
Red. But Red was an alien all along. He's been exposed.
Well, speaking of Elvis, this is the first time he's been on the been at the dinner table, and you guys might know him better as Mecha Dragon 101. He's playing Mother 3 in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX, and something you may not believe is that he met Muhammad Ali as a child. Elvis, nice of you to join us. Thanks for joining us.
Yay, thank you. It's kind of great that I'm finally get to see you guys and hang out and talk and stuff. A few quick things. Like I said, my mom assumed that I met Muhammad Ali when I was a kid, and I believe anything my mom says, so I guess that's true, I guess, that I met Muhammad Ali when I was a kid. But besides that, what am I supposed to say, like, just anything about me?
Anything. You just, those type of things, or if you want to talk about the game you're playing, you know, Mother 3, how's that going? Is this your first playthrough, or is this...
Sorry for cutting you off, Tim. During this whole quarantine, decided to maybe play some of the Mother games. So, like, recently I beat Earthbound, like, a few weeks ago. That was my first time playing through Earthbound. It was a good time. Gygax is much more scary when you play in person. So after that, I decided to play Mother 3. I haven't really played as much as I should have, because on the side, I've also been, like, teaching myself Spanish and teaching myself to draw during this whole quarantine while I have all the free time in the world. But hopefully, eventually, I can beat Mother 3 and Pokemon. There's, like, so many games on my backlog that I have to beat, like, I want to at least get through one of those games before Xenoblade Chronicles comes out at the end of the month, because I do want to get to that game. I feel like I got that game so many times, but I never get around to beating it, but I want to get through it. What else? That's mostly it. I've just been like, I don't know, my life is dull. I've just been practicing stuff while, you know, playing games like that. And
doesn't sound dull to me. Sounds pretty awesome to me.
Where'd you play Mother 3?
Oh, I have a repro cartridge I got from a big game con a few years ago. So I've been using that, and I got like a on my GameCube player through the Game Boy interface thing. That was not fun to install, but I do it that way. Originally, I wanted to wait for the analog or the Hyperkin thing to play Mother 3, but it doesn't seem like I think it's coming anytime soon, especially due to a certain health crisis. So I was like, you know what? Let me play this now. And I did order a one of those EverDrive things. Have you ever seen those before? I got one for the NES. They just released a new model, so I'm hoping to get through Mother 3 before that comes in the mail, so I can start Mother 1, because, you know, I already beat Mother 2. And hopefully they'd be Mother 3, so by then I could get to Mother 1. I'm a little worried about Mother 1 because I heard it's like a huge grind fest, but, you know, it's fine. That's mostly how old RPGs were like back in the days.
Nice. That's really cool.
That's what I've been doing. Just, like I said, playing games. I got to get back to Animal Crossing stuff. Sorry for talking a lot.
No. That's awesome. Yeah, with I've always had an interest in the Mother games, especially you know, ones we had here in the U.S., obviously, but I never got around to playing them. So it was one of those things that I have it now on, you know, this Super Nintendo Classic, and hopefully one of these days I'll be able to boot it up. So
I actually was playing it on my I also have an EverDrive for the Super Nintendo, and I was playing on that mostly because I want to justify the purchase of that EverDrive and my clone console, because I'm like, I already spent like over $100 on both of these things. Might as well use those as well. But
right.
You should give it a shot, Everett. It was a fun game. It was a little difficult at some parts, but you know, it's one of those games where you have to play before you die, if that makes sense.
Yes, it's in the bucket list, definitely. All right. Moving on, and we got Vince in. Sorry, Vince, for noticing too late, a little late there, that you were waiting for getting in. But you're on mute. There you go. But no, you're problem. Also playing.
Actually, Animal. I thought that was my bad. My internet's been kind of wonky, so if I cut out, I apologize in advance. So yeah,
it's all good. I'm glad you could make it.
I even see you in the window.
What was that, Elvis?
I'm on the Zoom website. There's like four windows. I didn't see Chris. Sorry.
Yes. Yep. Everybody should be in, and we'll go into Vince here playing Animal Crossing with you're playing Animal Crossing with your younger son and Smash Ultimate with your daughter. Yep. And the thing that nobody would probably believe is that you party with Gary Sinise.
Yeah,
which is,
it's true.
That's pretty cool. You got pictures?
Yeah. somewhere.
Or did you guys have to burn him?
It's not that kind of party. Right. No, it was several years back. I was still active duty Army. I was a photojournalist back then, and I got an interesting assignment. Got to work at the West Point, you know, U.S. Military Academy. And one summer, Gary Sinise came with his Lieutenant Dan band. So I got to live out a little dream of like playing Rolling Stone photographer at a rock concert. It was pretty cool. Got to meet him afterwards. Just like, you know, kind of regular meet and greet with, you know, the other cadets and, you know, the cadre there. And yeah, he's a really good guy. Really good guy. It's definitely one of the highlights of my military career. I couldn't quite settle on one because I had a few that I wanted to send you, but I went with Gary Sinise.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of times you can give us other ones. So
absolutely, I got war stories. I got those.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys all could join in and share these little stories, a little I guess these can be considered a little appetizers, right? So I guess we started our dinner with the appetizers. But then we can also jump right into, I guess, the bigger appetizer, which is something I wanted to start with, a retro rewind, which Antonio, as you can see, has for those here, but if you're listening, you won't see it. But behind him, because we're using Zoom, he's got the Super Castlevania 4 cover art from the box behind him. So, Antonio, I take it you played a little bit? Or are you?
Yeah, no, I'm actually about halfway through. No, this was actually the very first time that I've played any Castlevania game. So which was, you know, kind of an experience. You know, you kind of hearing the Metroidvania moniker, right? I was way more of a Metroid fan growing up. I had all of the Metroid games. I'm really glad that it's not Castleroids and it is Metroidvania, because I certainly think that the Metroid series is far better, frankly. I mean, after playing through this one, I did enjoy it thus far, you know, what I've played, but I certainly don't think that the Castlevania series even holds a cup of tea to the Metroid series. And we could talk about that a little bit more, but I just think in general, just from the gameplay, the art style itself, some of the mechanics, I certainly prefer the Metroid versions of the genre.
Okay, I'm sure somebody might make a comment on that too. But one thing I'll say is that in regards to Castlevania 4, I don't think the Metroid element took place until later on, when you started getting into, say, the GBA games or the DS games, where you got more of the Castleroids, if you will, aspect of it, where you would get something and be able to go back.
Sure. Yeah.
This is definitely more linear, straight through. But
yeah.
Didn't anybody else? Started with Symphony of the Night, though. That's when it kind of became Metroidvania. That when people took the gameplay of Symphony of the Night and combined it with Metroid.
Yeah, it actually may have started there, to be honest, I never played Symphony of the Night, but
I believe that was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to be able to play it. Did that come on the collection? I don't remember.
There
was one on PS3, PS4. Yeah.
Oh, the PS4 has that one. Okay, gotcha. It's not on this one.
With Rondo of Blood, I think.
That's right. That's why I wanted that. That's why I wanted that.
I feel like we should think of a new name for Metroidvania, because I don't know. I never really liked that name of the genre, because it's just like it's combining two different games in one. I feel like if we try hard enough, we could think of a different name, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Well, that's why we always mention Castleroids too, because of the Mega Dads.
I think by now we're just like roguelike.
Yeah.
Because at this point, roguelikes don't have much to do with rogue.
And Marty had to teach me on the difference between roguelike and roguelite, you know, so because I didn't quite understand the difference there.
Yeah, remember that.
If you asked me what it is now, I probably wouldn't be able to repeat it, but he did have to teach me it. But how about the rest of you guys? Do you have any memories of the game or your playthrough, if you played through it recently? Thoughts on Super Castlevania 4?
Can I speak about that? Or? Oh. Can I talk about Castlevania thing?
Yeah, you go ahead. Talk about Super Castlevania 4. Did you play some?
Oh, yeah. I played a bit of it. To be honest, I haven't beat it yet. I feel like I probably should have played it before this podcast, but I forgot to. Sorry. But I did play it plenty of times. It's like on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition. I also have the Castlevania collection that they brought out on the Switch. And based on like the reviews and stuff like that, I saw the game. It looks very interesting, because you know it's not as difficult as other Castlevania games like Castlevania 2 and 3, but it does so much things different in the series. Like it has like the whip that goes like, a little crazy, which is pretty cool. And there's also like exploration and stuff and linear stuff. And I don't know, maybe it's one of those games I should probably get around to doing. Like I gotta be there's like a bunch of Castlevania games I should get around to playing. To be honest, but I'll start with 4 because that and her is also James Rose fair Castlevania 2, which is cool.
I also heard 3 was really good too, for you know, because I don't really like going back to the NES games, but 3 I heard on the NES was really good, so I might go back and try to give that a go. But anybody else playing Super Castlevania 4. More information. I've got all the way through to Dracula, and I've tried to beat Dracula several times and cannot figure out the pattern or what I have to do to beat that guy. I just keep losing, and just. But every time when I got to him, it was pretty late, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go play with him again tomorrow, and then never got around to it. And then I tried again, and it was late, and I'm just like, you know what? I think I need to have a fresh fingers and fresh mind before I go for Dracula here. Anybody else?
Yeah, Tim. Sorry, go ahead.
You're up, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, Tim, a lot of my memories from Castlevania were more from the NES. I remember how everybody hated 2 for some reason. I think because it had a lot more of the RPG kind of elements to it and a lot more of that backtracking where you had to go get something to do something else. And I liked 3 a lot. And so I didn't play Super Castlevania 4 a lot until much recently. I tried to play along with Marty when he did the YouTube video, the Let's Play. And after, like, he's on level 4 and I'm way behind. He's just so skilled at this game. It was just amazing trying to, there was no keeping up.
Right.
Yeah, Marty's smoking fools. Yeah,
for he sure. He is, yeah. And it was good to watch and take hints and to see what to expect, because it's not a hard game, but it's not bad to get some tips for a lot of the bosses. It makes them a lot easier when he gives you those hints, like, oh, here you can stand here and you can avoid a lot of damage and that. But no, he was way ahead of me. Yeah. I think I only got to the, and it's the room you have to take your whip onto the hook and then the whole room spins.
Yes.
And oh yes. Yeah.
I wasn't getting past there.
That was that's like the first time we talked about the Mode 7 in the last episode. But that was like the first time that you experienced it in this game, right?
Yeah, either that before, or when you're before in the you room get the barrel room.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had a couple questions for you on this, Tim. Actually 3 questions, and I'll just go off. Where did you play it? Like, how did you play it? On was it the classic or was it in the collection?
I was originally going to do the classic because I have that, but I got lazy and I wanted to be able to play it on the go, so I just went ahead and bought the collection. So
that's what I did as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where I played it. And that's why I was able to send clips too from my Switch. I was sending them to Twitter, some clips when I was getting to the end of each boss. So if you go to my Twitter page, every time I played, I just kept posting, you know, I finally beat this one.
Can I just say, Chris, you mentioned how no one knows why the second and third game is hard. I think people don't like the second game because it's very cryptic, if that makes sense. And the third game is just very difficult, to say the least. I also heard the third game is kind of a prequel to the first one, if I remember. I don't know, the Castlevania lore can be kind of complicated from what I heard.
Yeah, I think the timeline's all a little bit all over the place. But, I didn't mind too going back and having like the collecting of the items. That wasn't really I never really had a problem with that. I think I do though prefer the more linear, like the Super Castlevania 4, where you're just going straight ahead. Straight ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So three or two does the you go back for items? Which one did you say was 3?
It's 2. It's Simon's Quest. Yeah, it's 2.
Okay, so that has a little bit of the Metroidvania or Metroid elements where you go back for stuff then. Okay.
Yeah, it's got, like, I looked it up online, and there's a lot of hate for that game. It's almost like Super Mario 2, where people are like, this is too much. This isn't like the game we knew from the first one. We don't like it. And,
like Zelda 2.
Castlevania 2 is
the Zelda 2. But I love Zelda 2. Now we're going to start a thing with that. But
because that's some of favorite. That goes to James Rawl from, you know, trash talking the game for so many years. I mean, that's basically was his first video game. He said was, you know, bad.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of, it's just like now, but just imagine if they had the social media back then, right? If Zelda 2 or, you know, Castlevania 2 came out or all these other ones where they went different a route from 1 to 2, people would have been blowing it up and hating on it.
Not to get too off topic, but I still think history will vindicate Star Fox Zero. People will be like, oh, that game was so good. People didn't appreciate it enough.
I believe you. I I replayed, and people might disagree with me still here. I don't know if you guys will, but Other M, Metroid Other M, I really enjoyed that game. I didn't mind the story. There were a couple things I could see where people were complaining about it, but it was just the story scenes that I could see people complain about. But the whole game, I don't see why people were complaining about that. To me, I thought that was a lot of fun. So
the problem is if you stick to the format too much from the previous game, you get people complaining, you didn't do anything different, or you didn't innovate or bring anything new to the game.
Yeah.
Why would I buy this new one? I just have the one from the previous version.
Yeah, we saw that with Zelda, right? Before Breath of the Wild came out, we saw that I hope they do something new with Zelda, you know, because it's just the same formula where go here, 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 and here to get these things, but there's no variation to it. So, and then Breath of the Wild came out, and then what was the 3DS one? The
Triforce Heroes?
No, not that one. The one before that. The one where it was the sequel to Link to the Past.
Oh, Link to Links.
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds. Thank you. Worlds, yeah. So that one, you could go get your own. You could pick what items you wanted to get instead of having to follow a linear type of thing too. So it was a little bit different. So, but yeah, for a long time, people were complaining about that with Zelda. So I could see that.
No, but like it's a double-edged sword because you have on one side people are going to complain that, oh, you should have done the same thing before, but then you have another group of people saying like, oh, this is the same thing over and over again. What's any different? It's like that's the problem with Nintendo games. Like for example, Pokemon, people say it's the same thing over and over again. But then when, for example, the new Paper Mario game that got announced, people are like, can you go back to the original formula? So like, you can never please anybody when it comes to Nintendo games.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the people who complain are the people who are the loudest, right? So.
And they're buying anyways.
Yeah, and they end up buying it, right?
Well, it's just very hard to do. It's hard to sell people on something when it's different. And you know, Castlevania is an interesting case because I think the classic style really peaked here with 4. And then, it kind of tapered off until we got Symphony of the Night. And then we got this new spin on it that really stuck that people... And there are people who never really took to that. I know Marty's said as much, I think. Before that he just doesn't like the Metroidvanias as much, but I mean it really set a new course for the series, and eventually that sort of got old, and they did the thing with what was the one after that, the one that played sort of like God of War. I never even bothered.
Fate,
the people who made Samus Return, right?
Lords of Shadow, that's the title. I think maybe I just came up with that.
I might be thinking of the 3DS one. Vania, let's see. Lords of Shadow, and then they had a second one. And then there was Mirror of Fate, which I think came out for the 3DS, which I actually enjoyed. It was kind of like a mix between the Lords of Shadow, but it still kept some of the elements from the DS or games.
It's kind of interesting in my case too, because I came to Castlevania pretty late. I didn't have Super Castlevania 4 as an original SNES cart, but I kind of got into the series through the Game Boy Advance games, and even then they were already kind of old. I kind of just went back. There was a point where I was just, most of the new games I bought were old Game Boy Advance games. Because I wasn't as interested in a lot of the stuff coming out for like GameCube and stuff. And so I got in with Aria of Sorrow, and I really liked that. So I collected the other Game Boy Advance games. And eventually, I think the first time I played Super Castlevania was on the Wii Virtual Console. And
nice.
After that, I was like, how did I miss this? This is like one of the best Super Nintendo games. And since then, it's kind of been something I replayed almost on the same level as Mega Man X, which is probably my most replayed game. That is the game I could possibly play through blindfolded at some point. Yeah. But, I mean, Super Castlevania is up there for me.
Nice. So how do I beat Dracula?
Well, the easiest thing is to get chicken from him, which is a little bit random.
Yes.
You could ask Marty.
do that attack where crazy attack that goes all over the place. If you hit it, it drops a chicken.
Yeah, I've gotten those, but it seems like I only get like two, maybe three of those, and then he doesn't do it again. Or at least I don't last it long enough.
It's a pretty strict timing, but what I do is I, for that first phase when he shoots the fireballs, I will whip right when he tosses the fireball. That splits it into three, so then you have to immediately jump, and then that's your chance to hit him in the head.
Okay.
You can jump over that split fireball into three, because if you don't hit it first, then it will split upward, and you can't just jump over it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good tips to know.
I still got a question on the topic of Castlevania. Which one of you guys got the Castlevania collection on the Switch?
That's how I played it. So I played through using the collection.
Out of curiosity, there's also they also have the game called Kid Dracula. That's like a translated version of the known NES game that we never got in the States. I'm just wondering if you guys played the game or beat it as well in the collection.
I haven't yet.
So Super Castlevania IV is the only one that I've played through thus far, or I played through a bit. I haven't beat it yet, just like Tim.
I have the collection too. I played a little bit of Kid Dracula. It didn't really hold my interest. It was just kind of like, oh, this is a game. I don't know. It's interesting. It just didn't, pop out at me as something I needed to play all the way through. So it's, I think I got through the first couple.
Original Castlevania, because it's more of a platformer. We got the Game Boy game, but we didn't get the NES game. I was just wondering, because it's one of those times in back in the days where like game series would like do different things with their franchise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that I didn't really dig about Castlevania IV were some of the movement and some of the platforming. I thought that they just seemed a little off to me. And one of the things I was thinking about was kind of the screens that I was playing on. And that was another one of the questions I had for you guys was, what was the size of the screen that you were playing on? Because I found the bigger the screen that I was playing on for Castlevania IV, the worse the experience became for obvious reasons. But I don't know, were you guys just playing on a regular computer monitor or kind of a mid-sized TV? What exactly?
I was playing strictly handheld.
Are you talking like when the screen is like 4x3 and 16x9, or do you mean like playing on a portable versus a TV?
Well, I mean like did you play it handheld, or like for instance, like I played a bit of it handheld, and then I felt like the best experience that I found was just on a computer monitor and actually playing with the 8-bit DOE SN Pro 30. Which was like here, this guy right here. So like playing with kind of the old school controller felt the best, and playing on a smaller screen felt much better than kind of blowing it up on a much larger screen. I felt like the platforming just was not built for that kind of experience, and was really difficult to control. Kind of catching, you know how like you sort of have to move just right to be able to move up and down the stairs, like
yes.
It would like on the larger the screen that I was playing on, it wouldn't catch, like, and you would find like these areas that was really difficult to kind of traverse that part of the environment.
Yep. It happened even in handheld mode for me too. Just was, I think, the mechanic of it, because of the stairs were kind of like on the back plane.
Exactly.
And depending on what you had to do to, if you were trying to go to the edge of the platform, you didn't want to go up the stairs. You had to kind of angle your directional pad to show that you were trying to go up the stairs, I guess. And it was still
even
difficult.
Yeah, I found
that
pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I think the really important thing is, did you moonwalk up the stairs?
Yes, I've done that too, by accident.
That is what you have. If you're not doing that,
you have to. You have to.
Moonwalk up the stairs and always catch the orb from the boss.
Yes.
I think it's also because the game was originally intended to be on a play on the TV, so that's probably why it looks a little
right,
more
of course. On a yeah.
So, but then again, on the Switch, you can just press the home button twice to zoom into like the game. So if it ever becomes too small, you always have that as an option. I do that sometimes with the Pokemon game, because the text can be kind of small on my, especially because I sit far away from the TV, so it's kind of helpful if I can't read something, I just push it to zoom in and take a quick second to read it.
I had a bigger issue when it was bigger. Yeah. Not when it like the smaller it got, it was actually much easier. I think the bigger that I was playing the game, it was far more difficult to control.
Did it get blurry in some areas too with the graphics?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And just like the actual physics of the game felt like they changed slightly. The larger, like I was playing, the largest screen that I played it on was 65 inches, and that was just like, oh my god, it's like it just didn't, yeah, it didn't, did not
the work. Game is like, I don't belong here. Yes,
I need to play with the super controller.
Where am controller? I?
You're yes. in the future.
Yeah, I was using the Switch Super Nintendo controller. I got one of those, and it's been
a good investment. That's really nice.
I didn't think of that. I was using my Joy-Cons, and it seemed to be okay. And if anything happened, I just blamed it on me, you know, and my old hands. So, any final thoughts on this, guys? On the retro rewind of the game?
Oh, no, I'm surprised you guys didn't bring up, like, I'm not sure if this is still related to Castlevania, but, like, the Bloodstained games. Have you guys ever played any of those two? Either Curse of the Moon or the whatever the newer one is called? Like, I played a little bit of the 8-bit game. It's pretty good. NT Creates really knows how to, you know, make nostalgic games modern again, if you ever played Bastardmaster or something like that.
Yeah, I've actually followed NT pretty closely for a time since the Mega Man Zero series. They just know how to make 2D action platformers. But yeah, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is that's the one that's more retro styled, and it is specifically Castlevania 3 because it's got the swapping between characters and things, and they even imitate, three of them at least, even imitate the way Castlevania characters play.
Cool. Yeah, I backed the game, and I would have played it day one, but because of the patches and everything they were working on, I decided I was going to hold off to play it, and then that was probably a bad idea because then we got hit with everything else, and I never got around to playing it. So I own it, but never got around to playing it. It's in my backlog now.
they've done a ton of work on that, right?
The patches for the game, like, it's playable now, right?
Yeah, they've done a lot of work on it. And probably John or Zablanc in our community has played it, and he'd probably be the best to ask questions from because I think he's played both. Sam, I don't know if you played both or you just played.
I canceled my Switch pre-order for Bloodstained and got it on PC instead because I heard about the problems I was having.
Yeah.
So I did play it. I can't attest to how much better the Switch port plays.
Okay.
Yeah, it is also very good. I don't know. There are some small issues with it, but I think it's a fine, you know, if you're hungry for Metroidvania style Castlevania, it is the best you're gonna get.
Cool. Yep. And that's why I wanted it too. So, and I've heard that, I've read in several places that the improvements they made are very good and makes it playable. And in fact, probably if you're not looking for it, you probably won't even notice some of the things that are wrong with it. So, especially if you're mainly playing on the Switch and you're not going back and forth with other like consoles, like a PS4 or an Xbox, then you'll probably be just fine. So, which is why I'm excited for it. Eventually I'm hoping to play it, and I've got it in mind as long as Nintendo doesn't come out with another Luigi's Mansion game, which I doubt, but just saying that around Halloween, I'll probably try to play this for Halloween. So get me in that, you know, mood for Halloween.
As gamers, we're always going to have a backlog to the day we die. Like we'll be like 50 years old, still have a backlog. Like, oh yeah, I got to play that game from like 2016 I never got around to being it.
I have a plan for that. When I move into my retirement home, I'm taking all these games and stuff with me, and that's I'll be able to attack my backlog there.
All the time in the world, just like I might as well sit here for the rest of my life, might as well get these backlogs.
Yes,
I do think we will come to a time in our, you know, culture where video games become a thing that's associated with, that's what old people do.
Yes, those nurses will come in like, oh, Tim, you need to get off that thing. You haven't moved.
That's fine by me.
Been staring at the screen all night. Right? I'd be like, give me my controller. This one's dead. I need a new one.
This one's drifting.
Yes. Damn Nintendo. It'll be, by that time, it'll be Micro Tendo or something like that. Who knows? Because Microsoft bought Nintendo or something. VR. What's that? Oh, yeah, VR.
VR is like the Super Switch classic virtual version where you play some Mario World like in VR. See Mario.
It's almost the same as helmet on. That's the VR goggles.
Perfect. That's sign me up or jack me in like the Matrix. I'll take it. All right, guys, let's this is a good learning lesson for me too, because this is our first retro rewind, so I can see how long we would spend on a topic here. But I wanted to definitely bring that up first because I didn't want to do it. I wanted to give it its due diligence. So, because if it was a dessert item, we might have, you know, tried to cut it short or anything like that. So I wanted to bring it into the appetizer as an appetizer so we could talk about it and then move on to the main dish, which is, where does gaming go from here? And the reason why I bring this up is because we are living in a world where we have hybrid devices, our Nintendo Switches, a lot more games going into the cloud so that you can play between a console device and then go on the go with your phone or tablet or things like that, depending on what you want to go with, either xCloud or Stadia, or soon to come other things like Amazon, whatever they're working on. And then you got the smaller things like Google Play and Apple's Play that have some games in there that have come over to the Switch. But basically, they're all there. They're doing games. And then you also have you have to keep in mind the retro games, especially like we just talked about, Retro Rewind, being able to go back and play some of those old games. So you got to think of backwards compatibility. So with all that in mind, and maybe anything else I didn't think of, you know, like VR and all that kind of stuff, where does games go from here? Where does it go from here? Sam, why don't you go ahead and start? Or did I put you on the spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question, but I think cloud gaming is an interesting thing because Nintendo is the one company that's not really pursuing it, but I think they might be the one most well positioned to take advantage of it if we have the infrastructure for it, in terms of just the success of their consoles. Because since the Wii, Nintendo has always, you know, kind of said, hey, we're not going to fight that battle on how many teraflops we can put in a box. You know, we're going to create something that you can't replicate with anything else because we're going to do motion controls, or we're going to do the tablet, or we're going to have something that is a portable that you can dock. So if they're able to just outsource the actual computing power to a server farm somewhere, then they can lean harder into that. You know, they don't have to worry about any of that. Now, at the same time, they would have to be able to partner with somebody, because I don't think Nintendo is large enough to... I mean, we've seen how Nintendo Switch Online struggles at this point. I don't think they can build the servers to do that. But I think they're in a unique position compared to the others.
Well, and speaking of that partnership, if they were to move into the cloud gaming aspect of things, we have several areas they could go, right? They have several areas they could go. They could join Sony and work with Microsoft to fight against, say, Amazon and Google and their farms and games and whatever Apple's using. I don't know what even Apple's using. Or they could work with Google or Amazon to use their servers. Or there's also NVIDIA, because they also have their own cloud service that they were using. I know a lot of people have jumped off of it. A lot of companies have jumped off of it.
Yeah.
So, but that one intrigued me the most because they're already working with NVIDIA on, you know, the hardware side. But I guess too, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. So, they may not go with them, but who knows? Because I know they also have done stuff with them in China in regards to putting a couple of their Mario games in the cloud for NVIDIA in China.
Well, we also had a Nintendo Direct with the words "our friends at Microsoft" in it.
Yeah. Yes.
And Sakurai telling us, play Banjo-Kazooie on your Xbox.
Yep. So there's always that aspect as well.
If we're going to think about any of the larger cloud providers, because, I mean, obviously Amazon and Google have their own large clouds that they support and they're continuing to expand. But the only one that I think would necessarily partner with Nintendo at this time to be able to build out the infrastructure to be able to support that type of concept would be Microsoft with their Azure cloud for sure. And I agree completely with Sam. I do think they would be well positioned if that's happening in the background now. They certainly have the IP to support that and the clout to be able to put their IP in the cloud and be able to play from anywhere. But the market you could see is already becoming pretty clouded. I mean, there's not to use I didn't mean that by any means. But there's a ton of providers already. I mean, there's a number of different cloud gaming startups that are popping up all over the place. So I think this is very quickly going to find itself in a place that we're going to have a lot of choices, similar to what we're already experiencing in the streaming space with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime or what have you. I think we're going to have a lot of choice in the near future when it comes to our cloud gaming and streaming gaming options.
You guys have been talking about like cloud streaming stuff like that. I don't know if like Nintendo will ever like completely do that, because this is the same company that like, you know, half the games don't even work on the cloud. Like, I love Nintendo and everything, but you know, sometimes they can be behind on things like the cloud search, for example, or like the cloud gaming on the Switch is like, barely any games work on the cloud when it comes to Switch. Only like two Japanese games work on the cloud, like Resident Evil and one of the Assassin's Creed games. But I don't know. I don't see Nintendo going full force with the cloud. Maybe like if that's like the only option to do, like everyone else went to the cloud, so they have no choice but to do it. But I don't know if that seems like super distant in the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that they would go into the cloud. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not sure if they would have the partnerships or the access to infrastructure to be able to support that kind of play. That's what I'm saying. I think I agree with Sam. Like, they think some of the kind of off the wall stuff they've done and positioned themselves as has really been their past and perhaps can still be their future.
Is it possible that they may even try to get away from anything gaming related at this level, since they're trying to go to maybe the next, you know, they're trying to follow the Walt Disney plan, I guess, of trying to be that media type company first, and then they'd like to have control of a lot of things. So, and although we've seen them change since coming out with the Switch, they've changed a lot of things and what they do, but is there some aspects of it to where they may not want to give up that kind of control, because if they work with a partner, that's giving up some of that control they have. Although they are working with Universal, so I mean they are working with other companies for things, so who knows. But that's something I struggle with when I'm trying to think of those type of things, is like, what have they done in the past and does that reflect on what they do in the future? And but maybe they are learning what they've done in the past, they have to change, so they have to do things differently in the future.
Are you talking about if Nintendo ever leaves the gaming market? Because, I mean, yeah, I'm starting to see Nintendo being more media and stuff like that, but I think they're never going to give up their video game market, because that's like, I'm pretty sure that makes them billions and billions of dollars. They're not going to ever let that go, to be honest. That'll be...
Well, it won't be like tomorrow they let go of it, obviously, but it may not be their central pillar.
And that's where we see more of the partnership. You know, we see, you know, the Mario Legos, we see the Levi's, we see, you know, Universal. Right. So I think Nintendo is realizing they can focus on just making games, and they can partner with other people to develop their brand, which will hopefully just sell more games, as well as, you know, get them a cut of that profit off of all these Legos and blue jeans and things people are buying.
Yeah. Let the other companies that
their gold mine.
Yes. Let the other companies that know how to do that kind of stuff, let them handle it. And that makes sense. And that's what we're seeing what they're doing too. So
I would say my other prediction for Nintendo, I think post Switch, we're going to see them try to establish some kind of second pillar again. It may or may not work. And I think a better, more powerful Switch will probably come out after that, whether or not the second thing sticks. I think I'm expecting them to just do something really weird hardware wise next.
The only thing you can count on from Nintendo is doing something weird.
Yes.
Isn't that what they're really known for? Because if their consoles haven't been as, maybe haven't as performed as the other ones, they've had to innovate. And so you got the Wii with the motion controls and how that tended to appeal to a much wider gaming audience than just what an Xbox would. And now that you have the Switch, you have this hybrid console, which no one else is doing. They have been able to set themselves apart for doing unique things with the consoles. But then you also notice that didn't satisfy everyone. So they made a Switch Lite, which was, for the people who just wanted to do portable or handheld. And now with all the talk about a Switch Pro, because people want to be at home and have it on their big TV and have a console that performs and can play and display the graphics and the kind of things that they want to do, at home.
Yeah, it seems like they're in a tough place, right? Because they got to keep those balances. It's quite interesting, especially when you keep an eye on some of the rumors or the patents that they have. Like one I think I remember seeing was about a second screen on the Switch. Not sure if it's part of it or if it's an attachment or whatever, but it was very interesting to see that pop up in the rumor mill.
Watch like the next Switch be like Switch DS, be like the successor to like the DS.
Yeah.
Like the Nintendo 3 Switch DS, I don't know. Because how much Nintendo loves 3DS. They won't admit that thing is dead, even though it's just like...
Don't forget to throw the word Galaxy in there. It's got to have in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing more peripherals, more weird peripherals. I'm always in the market, right, for some odd Nintendo peripherals that they can come with.
Given the Switch's design, there is an opportunity to make peripherals that slide in where the Joy-Con go, which we haven't
seen. I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the Power Glove to make its big comeback.
That'd be awesome.
That's what I'm waiting for.
It'll probably be a glove where you just slide in the Joy-Con into it,
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think the LCD or the current TVs can display it, but will we ever get a light gun or a zapper again?
Well, HyperKin does have that peripheral that kind of makes gun games work on TV, but I heard it's not that good. So I don't think we're up to that level yet where we can use light guns again on TVs, because HD's TVs are not able to do that anymore.
Wouldn't it just be something where you slide this into it because it's got the...
The IR blaster.
The main thing is to get a sensor like the Wii had. Otherwise, you got to constantly recenter it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, does the Switch even have a bunch of cursor controls? I think Word of Goo did that or something, right?
There's a few. I remember playing The World Ends With You, the port of that came to Switch, and it makes use of that to simulate the DS touchscreen if you're playing docked. It's not perfect.
Okay.
And a lot of it's for that reason. You have to get really good about constantly recentering if you want to, otherwise it'll go all over the place.
Hmm. Is that why, I think, if I remember, it's been a while since I played 1-2 Switch, but didn't they have you recenter between recenter the Joy-Cons before each game? Like you had to set it down or something and then pick it up after it centered itself.
Was there anything like that in Mario Tennis as well? Was that an issue? I don't remember that being an issue.
There was there is a motion control mode It's not like a pointer, but it is gesture based. I don't know if you actually have to recenter. It's a thing in Splatoon as well, but in Splatoon that is a little bit, because you can compensate with the analog.
Right. Okay. Might be just the sensors it uses in there too. So.
Well, like the Wii, you had the sensor bar, which gave IR sensor a reference point. This is where the TV is. Yeah. Whereas with the Joy-Con, you have a sensor on the Joy-Con, but it has no idea where your TV is. So you center it, and it will drift as you move it around. It's basically just moving the cursor in response to how far you tilted the Joy-Con. But it doesn't actually know. It doesn't have any zero point to refer back to.
Maybe they release like a sensor bar for the Switch that can make it basically a Wii again, where you just use a sensor to do cursor things and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, the way that the Wii and Wii U bar always work is it basically just provides 2 points of light for the Wiimote to look at. My son actually figured this out by taking two tea lights, lighting them, sitting them up and above the TV, and he's like, "Look, Dad, I fixed the sensor bar," because that's all the Wiimote is looking for is 2 points of light, and since heat makes infrared light, that was the source that the Wiimote was looking for. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's like, oh, the power's out. Oh, can't play the Wii, but we still have our candles, so.
I think that only calls light to the areas that motion control does do really well on the Switch, and how incredible that sort of is. Like when you're trying to flip the steak in Mario Party, I feel like that's pretty smooth. I always get a kick out of that.
It is amazing what you can do with the Joy-Cons when they do it right.
Motion control is still alive. Especially when ARMS 2 comes out.
They're going to announce them once they announce the ARMS character for Smash. Just you wait.
Yes. Yes. So any final thoughts on the where gaming can go from here, or whether it's specifically Nintendo or just overall the industry? So, we're still on the cusp of, the high-end graphics and all that kind of stuff that we see with PS5 and the Xbox X Series, but it seems like this is going to, we're seeing a transition after these consoles of, cloud gaming services and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think that the decision to do that is definitely in Nintendo's court and their court, whether they're going to do that or not. Obviously, like you mentioned, the licensing deals with Levi's and the other things, this gives them that sort of creative freedom to focus on their games, which I think is a good thing as long as they make the right choices. Something that I feel was not the best choice for them to do when they moved transitioned generations from the Wii U to the Switch was the Virtual Console. And when the Virtual Console library was live, it was pretty cool. I got to download, not just Nintendo, Super Nintendo games, but stuff for the TurboGrafx, Commodore 64, games that I never would have... I never would have come by them, and their decision not to bring that over to the Switch generation, I feel that's kind of a missed opportunity, or maybe a step backwards, because I am interested in cloud gaming. I looked into the Stadia, but I thought it looked pretty cool. But I'm a classic gamer. I play Borderlands or The Witcher or anything. I didn't see any of the classic titles. And, I don't want the classic titles to disappear, What if Pong and adventure and, you know, like the Atari greats and, you know, the NES titles. What if we lose that stuff someday? Like, I feel like there should be like a Library of Congress section for video games, if there isn't one already.
So there is a retro, a cloud retro gaming services that are starting to pop up as well, that are providing that, like, that service to people. Like, you want to like subscribe and be able to go and play old school games. I mean, because obviously archivists and kind of conservationists of old school gaming are certainly going to persist. I mean, that's not going away. So, and there I'm looking at a couple. There seems to be a few that are starting to pop up for kind of that. Provide that type of experience to gamers like ourselves that really dig those old school titles.
Well, and for the dark side, there's also the emulation community that will do that too, right?
Totally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I never would have been able to play Castlevania without it.
Well, I mean, the question then becomes, what's the future for, you know, Nintendo Switch Online with, you know, the Super Nintendo games, because that's what Nintendo said. This is the new virtual console, you know, take it or leave it. And I personally like the business model, but I am frustrated by how thin that selection continues to be after, you know, what is it, 3 years now? Well, I guess the service launched not as long ago, but.
And they're still adding. They came out with there's another four this week, you know, that they're adding.
And I'm happy they're added to it. It's just, And to your point, they, you know, when the Wii U came out, they carried forward all the Wii Virtual Console. Now, you had to boot the Wii U in Wii mode to play them, unless you wanted to pay the dollar, I think it was, to, you know, and then you could, you know, play it on the tablet and stuff. There were some extra features if you got the Wii U version. But, I mean, and right off the bat, you know, the Wii U had the most games, oddly enough, because it had the whole Wii Virtual Console.
This is why I'm not sure exactly why licensing is completely an issue, because those games, you're not buying individual games. You're paying for a subscription service that allows you the catalog that they're making available. So there's no direct revenue from the individual titles. Doesn't that mean they could go back and get something, and if you wanted an NBA Jam, I know that's, there's a lot of licensing with players and team names, but I'm not paying for NBA Jam, I'm paying for Nintendo Switch Online, and then it just happens to come with it.
If Chris doesn't get his NHL 94 in a cloud gaming service, he's coming through the screen. He's coming for somebody.
Can I say something about the Virtual Console Switch Online, if that's okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, because I forgot who was saying it, but you were talking about how, like, you missed the Virtual Console and, you know, poured that over to Switch Online. I think what happened was when the Virtual Console was still around, people were kind of, like, begging Nintendo. It's like, hey, Nintendo, I don't want to buy, like, Super Mario for, like, the fifth time already. Why not you just make, like, a Netflix-style service and then, like, put the games out that way? I guess, like, it's one of those instances where, like, be careful what you wish for, because that's exactly what Nintendo did. They created, like, kind of a Netflix thing. However, they just didn't implement it very well. Like, you know, they at first they were doing a good job giving us a game each month, but then for some reason they were like, oh, we're going to release them whatever the heck we want to. And, like, not only that, they're releasing random games. And another issue is that nowadays companies are trying to put, like, their retro games in collections. Like, you know, we're talking about Contra recently, and, you know, Konami just released the Castlevania collection, meaning the first three Castlevanias and Super Castlevania is not going to be in the Switch Online because they want you to buy that collection. Like, a lot of classic games that people were complaining about, like, why isn't this game in there? Why isn't this game in there? It's because, you know, they have them in the collection and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, I agree with you. I kind of prefer the Virtual Console because I like to own my games, you know, in case something happens.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But, I feel like if people they complained to Nintendo saying they wanted that, they would have, like, done the Virtual Console over again. But because people were, like, begging Nintendo to be unique and, you know, get with the times, they were like, oh, we should do the Netflix thing like they said to do.
Some of the, like, kind of, I guess you'd say, like, more obscure titles that they've put through the services, though, have been the first time I've ever been exposed to those. So I am thankful for that. There's a few of those.
Boat Duel, man. What do you think? I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah, and so I am thankful that they have brought some of those titles, because those are things like you were talking about, Vin. Like I would have never seen that before. I would have never had the opportunity to play that, because you only come across that if I had the old school console, and I may have stumbled upon that game at a yard sale or something. You know, so I think that's pretty cool.
No, it adds a legitimacy to the game if it's on the current console. Like if I try to get my kids to play Super Mario Brothers and dragged out the old console and had to blow in the cart and plug in a wired controller. They're like, this is old stuff, Dad. I don't want to touch that. But they go on the Switch and like, oh, I can do it here too. It's kind of cool because it's current still, in a way, anyway.
There's a joke I kind of say around myself where it's like, no matter what Nintendo's next console is, they will make sure you play Super Mario Brothers on it. It's like, okay, whatever next console
you better make, believe make sure it.
I don't care. That's a little joke I have for myself, honestly.
Yeah, speaking of the kids side of things, what was really cool is to see, without any prompting from me or anything like that, I was seeing my youngest son just kind of go into the NES online or the Super NES online and play some of those games, trying them out on his own, which was really cool. So to see, and that's what I like to see about that. So going with what you were saying, Chris, is it's on their device, they have it on their Switch, we have the family Nintendo online thing, they have access to it, and they could play those classic games that we hope we get to see, like Vince was saying, keep up on and put in there.
They're easier because they're just the fewer buttons at the controls for kids starting out.
Yeah,
it's just so much easier for them to. It's a gateway.
Yeah, it's a gateway drug. First one's free.
Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. I feel like they're gonna be like there for a long time. Also, remember, I think there's like a foundation called the Video Game History Foundation, and their job is to basically like archive any old retro game. Like recent, not really recent, but like they retrieved a SimCity NES game.
Yes,
they recently found that out. There's like, you know, we have people who are out there trying to like find like lost games and stuff like that. Sure, there are people who are like, you know, keep it hostage, but you know, there's some companies that, you know, I appreciate the archive thing. I hope that's something they keep for a long time. I hope that like my great great grandchild can play Super Mario Brothers 3 in the future.
Yeah, and then speaking of the Video Game History Foundation, they are on Patreon as well. And at one time I was giving them money to help conserve some of these things, but with, you know, recent things going on, I had to cut back a little bit there, but hopefully you'll be able to go back there and donate to help them with their conservation efforts.
One last question. Sure, I want to ask about the main topic of the main course was, do people think in the future that there'll be more, the Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft will have more incentive to cross-platform games with competition from Google and these bigger companies, or are they going to stay their own lane?
No, I think the consumers have really spoken on that, and we really expect everybody to kind of play well, nice and, you know, in the sandbox. And I think Nintendo and Microsoft kind of led the way with that a little bit, and we've seen like even some of the crossplay between Steam and Nintendo recently has also shown that. I think people are starting to really warm up to that. Didn't even PlayStation now allows you to do a little bit of crossplay with some other platforms of certain games?
Yep.
I think that's really our expectation as consumers.
These other console wars are dead.
And they sort
it's
of
now
are
a services
in a lot
war.
Of ways.
It's a services war now. So
well, it's almost kind of like the, you know, there is no console war. It's you know, it's a
or studios war
benefit thing. You look at like Marvel and DC Comics, they fed off of each other for so long, you know.
Yeah.
There were fanboy arguments about which was better, but at the end of the day, you know, they brought fans into comic books together.
Yep. And I think it's going to be what we saw start at the Game Awards show, where all three of them, you know, the leaders at the time came out together and talked about a little unity there. But what I'm seeing now is more of each of these companies are tackling what their own niches, if you will. So their own areas, like Sony's got their, you know, story narrative driven single player type games, where Microsoft is more of the online things, but they're trying to build now towards the single player aspect. So, and then Nintendo is just Nintendo. So where it's, you know, family oriented with maybe a little bit of, you know, mature audiences every now and then. So, but, and it way gamers have been growing up into it, like myself, is I always been a Nintendo gamer plus one more. And it's usually been PlayStation, because I knew what I could get out of Nintendo, and I knew I wasn't going to get some of those things I wanted out of, say, that I could get out of PlayStation or Microsoft. So I had to pick one. But now we're seeing, I think, where they're kind of focusing on their areas, and not, you don't see Nintendo trying to come in. Every now and then they might have something, but you don't see them trying to take over the family area of gaming, you know, like Nintendo has, or Microsoft's not trying to come in and knock down that door either. You see more of a partnership, I think. So it's now, to me, has been more of the services and studios. You know, here's our studios, here our studios, first parties or second parties will provide. And, you know, you can only play them on our console, even though you can play a lot of the games you like on all three of these consoles. There's these certain ones you can play on ours. And I think that's where it's going to start going more and more. What do you guys think?
It's why I'm more excited about EA finally coming back to the Switch, because again, I'm missing a lot of the sports. I really want it. I want to get the NHL. I want to get the NBA. I'm really hoping that they can play nice.
Yeah, that would be nice.
If I could say, kind of respond to that question about like the competition, something like that, I think there's still kind of some competition between Sony and Microsoft. Like, sure, they seem buddy buddy and stuff like that, but you know, keep in mind they're going to release their new consoles this year. And I also have a thought that the reason why none of them have set a price for any of their consoles, because they're waiting for one of them to say it first, and then they can, you know, one up them, be like, we're going to do $100 less.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game of chicken that I said on YouTube. We're like, you know, one of them was waiting for one of them to say the price, and then when they say it, then they will attack it to some extent, because to be honest, competition is always good for anybody. Sure, it's good to be lovey-dovey, but at least it's good to bring that out, so you said. Like, I want to say really quick, Sony and Microsoft, I think they're kind of like keeping them in mind. They're sadly not keeping Nintendo in mind. I think they're just like leaving Nintendo being like the sun there. But in the end of the day, I think all the companies are still kind of like doing their own thing, but they still kind of have their eyes on the competition to see what they're going to do.
Definitely. Well, it's all about the numbers, right? So
totally. And I don't necessarily think they're going to be all buddy buddy best friends, but I certainly think consumers demand the ability to be able to play with their other friends that have purchased other consoles, you know, for games that do allow for crossplay or are just natively organically crossplay enabled. I think that's the only piece, you know, because I think at this point everybody's sort of subscribed to their brand, what they prefer. Same thing with your, you know, your smartphone. You know, it's like you're kind of an Apple or an Android person as it is. And I think it's the same thing. You're either a PlayStation or an Xbox person. And most people, you know, have at least through this Nintendo console have been a Nintendo person as well. Or like Tim, you know, Nintendo plus one kind of household.
Or they're going to have to get used to, I think. Sorry.
I do think that, you know, Nintendo is less of a fierce competitor in that sense than Microsoft and Sony are with one another. Because I think it's just for the consumer, it's hard to justify owning an Xbox and a PlayStation versus owning an Xbox and a Switch, or a PlayStation and a Switch, or a Switch and a PC. Those other Sony and Microsoft do interfere with each other, I think, more than they do with Nintendo.
Yeah. And where Nintendo comes in, I think their interference is that the third parties is trying to get some of those games, and maybe Nintendo knows they can't get all of them, obviously, because of the higher quality graphics in a lot of cases, and they've said it themselves, they're not focusing on graphics. But there's still a lot of their consumers are demanding, hey, if I can play it over there, I want to be able to play it over here. Like Chris and I are wanting some of those sports games over here. You know, we would like to see some of that. How they do it is what we would like to see some creativity in. Maybe, yeah, you can't display the same graphical horsepower on the PlayStation or Xbox for Madden that you could on their devices or their hardware that on a Switch, but that's why we're saying be creative. Maybe, you know, hit the old school market or the nostalgia market and come up with, you know, bring over 94 graphic NHL with the new rosters or something, you know, and hit the communities that are doing it on their own and say, hey, go come over here, play it on ours. It could be another revenue point, I guess. So who knows? I mean, it's just, there's a lot of opportunity there that I always think that could be looked at, and not understanding, I guess, maybe some of the business aspects, maybe there's something more to it that's not as easy as I, in my little mind, can think of, but I think that there's some opportunity there.
You mentioned sports games. That reminds me. What if, like, in the next sports game, they put, like, Mario and Luigi and Peach? Because I don't know if you remember, but there was, like, an old GameCube basketball game that I think it was, like, NBA Street. And the GameCube version had, like, the Mario characters in it. So if they do something like that, like Madden, you can play as Mario, Luigi, or Peach. It's like, there we go.
They could do like what Sam's doing with XCOM too, is, you know, make them look more real, but call them, you know, Mario or Peach or whatever. It'd be kind of funny, but give them the colors or whatever. That'd be kind of funny. So, but definitely, I just wanted to bring this topic up because I found it interesting. I know it's obviously easy to look at what's being rumored, what's being talked about, and what could possibly Nintendo be doing, say, for the Switch 2 or even games in the cloud. I always said on the Nintendo Dads podcast, whenever we've had the opportunity to talk about it, that I think Nintendo has something big before this coronavirus thing happened. They've had something big up their sleeve that we don't. It's my gut says there's something big going to happen. It might be delayed now, but there's something big going to happen that's going to probably blow our minds. What that is, I don't know. Maybe it is more cloud-based games. Maybe it is a partnership, but I think there's something there. And that's the reason why they've been slow before the coronavirus and now even slower now.
I feel like if it wasn't for this whole coronavirus going on, we'd have gotten so much more better news. Like, again, the Paper Mario game they just recently announced, I feel like they were saving for that for a direct, but we're so close to the end of the game. They're like, you know what? The game isn't like out in 2 months. We have to let them know about the game now. Like, you know,
yeah.
We would have had like so many directs or something like that if it wasn't for this whole, you know, pandemic screwing everyone around this year, unfortunately.
There, part of me says I agree with you, but there's a part of me that's a little bit of disagreement because of what they were doing even before we were thinking coronavirus. They weren't telling us much after Pokemon. You know, it was like, when are we going to get the next direct? When are we going to get the next direct? We got an indie direct, and then we got a mini direct, but the mini direct was happening towards the beginning of coronavirus, and they even said in that mini direct that was, you know, some of these things may not happen because of the situation. So something was slowing down there for what? And that's what's bothering me. Like, there's got it. Before the whole coronavirus thing, there was something slowing down there. What were they preparing for that was not able to drop now because of coronavirus? Now we have to wait even longer to figure that out. That's where my mind bothers me about this whole thing.
I think there's a little bit to what Dan Caparello was saying last night on the show, was like, you know, perhaps this shadow drop is the new direct. You know, and to be honest, like I kind of like these surprises. You know, I get wake up and there's a new game coming out. Like that's
it's different,
you know,
right?
And because you've seen like now the whole market is like, oh, we can make these directs. You know, like and everybody has their own little showcase now, and so now Nintendo's like maybe looking to the next thing. I think Dan was also talking last night on the show about you know, Nintendo doesn't have the same marketing leadership that it did. You know, with Reggie and Iwata being gone, and just like new faces, and perhaps they are taking a slightly different direction from Doug Bowser, you know, in this case.
Makes sense.
Isn't part of it they just can't physically be together to produce some of those big shows anymore? Yeah. I mean,
but that's the tough part, right? Is because the coronavirus screwed everything up, so it's hard to predict anything. But that's what I'm saying is before this, there were still, before we even were thinking coronavirus is screwing everything up, there was still that slowdown of them not giving us all that information. It was just bits and pieces there. And that's why even before last night, Dan was talking about this, right? A long time ago, and back in January, in fact, I think, or something like that, January or February, he was like, I think they're doing something different. They're not going to do directs anymore. So, and I was like, ah, you're funny, Dan. You're crazy. They're not going to stop doing directs.
5 months later.
They're still not doing it.
Isn't like the beginning of the year usually like the slowest? Like, this is the thing that happened last year where like you guys were complaining in the podcast, there's nothing going on in the beginning of the month. And then like at the end of the year, we got like a game after game after game. I think that was how like 2019 that happened.
Last year it was, we thought it was going to be in January. It was not. It ended up being like mid-February or something like that, or towards the end of February. I have to look real quick. But yeah, it was. And in fact, the Nintendo guru always teases Justin about this, about Justin's guarantee. Oh, we were going to have last year we were going to have that January direct and it never happened. So, but it still ended up happening. We didn't get a direct this year and it wasn't a full direct. It was a mini direct until March, was it?
With like the Animal Crossing direct. And then that reviewed those contests. Then we had the mini direct.
And the Pokemon DLC thing too.
And the DLC, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they had the individual game things, but they didn't have a regular direct.
Right.
And it ended up being a mini direct, which was cool, and we're like, oh, but then it was like, this is the way it is, and then we were thinking, oh, this is light because of the coronavirus too. So, again, coronavirus throws a wrench in a lot of things, but.
Well. I think it's kind of weird because sometimes it seems like people think Nintendo has this like pile of finished games that they're just trying to figure out when to release.
Like Pikmin 4, right?
Crunch is a really bad thing in the games industry.
Yes.
Like you can't release a game until it's finished. Now, certainly they are planning ahead and they're probably making a tough decision right now about, you know, how much do we have to crunch to get this game out by the holiday season. And that's probably what Nintendo's leadership is thinking right now. You know, can we even do that? You know, how much is that going to cost us?
And Chris, I think you were trying to say something. Go ahead.
No, yeah, Tim, I could see what you guys were saying on the podcast. The news was light up until the coronavirus was even. So not even having that, I think we might be reading too much into this Paper Mario, you know, out of nowhere. That this might just be a one-off.
And it could be what Sam and you guys were saying and everybody yesterday too, when Justin was saying there may be stuff that's ready or close to ready and they couldn't say that it was because everything's all up in the air and what could be finished at home because they can't be in the office. But I think what we're really going to see the hardest hit time will be in 2021.
Yeah.
Where a lot of those mid-development games are just now just sitting off. They can't do the bulk of the work because they're not in the office. At home, they can't do it because they have to have higher powered computers or whatever the case may be, or, you know, locked down environment, you know, because they don't want any leaks. So
it's the same thing with the movie industry. Like, so if films weren't ready to come out before coronavirus, some stuff you can edit at home, but where you're going to see a real gap is going to be, you know, November, December, when the films that they should have started filming right now, and they won't be able to start for another year or so.
Which is why they do have a set of games that are ready and had this whole plan going before coronavirus, but now have to say, all right, coronavirus screwed up our plan, so we need to reset our release dates so that we can spread it out. And cover
Nintendo's like made the point that we even talked about it on the last show was they take crunch very seriously, and they don't like putting their developers in a bind. And they've talked about, we'll give developers the leeway and the leash to be able to finish games in the amount of time that's it's necessary. And I mean, I don't see that changing during this process, right? I mean, they're probably, that's company culture, and they're going to continue to try to maintain that.
Yes, definitely. Well, guys, we're at the dessert portion. Are you guys full? Do you guys have enough room for dessert?
Always room for dessert.
Absolutely.
You squeeze them there, yeah.
Well, hopefully Vince can come back. Oh, I see him waiting. He's waiting. I'm surprised he wasn't able to get back in right away. I didn't think he had to wait the last time. I'll have to see if I can turn that off so he doesn't have to wait for me to notice that he's sitting there waiting.
Oh, there's Vince.
Yeah, he was in the waiting room. He was in the green room. Vince was in the green room.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry about that. Again. I just noticed you were in the waiting room again. I'm surprised you had to go back to the waiting room. But we just finished up the main dish. You feeling all right? You had to keep getting up and down from the dinner table, so I want to make sure you're feeling all right.
it's darn CenturyLink. You know, you go ahead and pay them, and they start jerking you around with your internet.
He had too much to drink.
Too much to drink, so you got to get up and go to the bathroom, huh? So you got to get up from the dinner table. So I hope you got room for dessert, Vince, because we're getting ready to talk about. What I want to ask you guys is we had our first Retro Rewind game. I want you guys to think about what should our next Retro Rewind game be. So anything off the top of your head, and there's a couple things that we try to keep in mind when we're thinking of a game. And if we can't come to consensus here, I can always take, you know, your votes on a game and put them in Discord and see what people vote on a game, and we can go from there.
I'm not sure we're talking like 64 below or like something from PS2 era, so I can have like a guideline.
Good question.
Nintendo games, Retro Rewind Nintendo games, and they have to be pretty accessible for everybody to be able to participate if they want. But it doesn't have to be like overly accessible. It could be because a lot of people could respond based on nostalgia as well, like, or memories, and say, hey, you know, this is my memory of the game. I didn't play it, but this is my memory of the game.
Yeah, I suppose they should be in like some sort of collection that you could purchase on the Switch or on either of the classic consoles, for instance, right?
Classic consoles or NES or the Nintendo Online, or even since we still have access to Wii U, to be able to go to the Virtual Console if you bought it already there. So,
yeah.
Or if you've got the original hardware, you can still do it too. But it's mainly trying to be accessible. Oh, can't forget 3DS as well. Sorry, you can also get some of these games on 3DS Virtual Console as well. So that's the criteria. We try to make it easy so people could play along if they want to. But again, I'm trying not to restrict it to that either. Where it could be, if you just have memories of it that you want to share, you can. And we'll keep evolving this as we go along, too. So,
well, next month is the summer, so I don't know if you could think of any summer-ish games, like either any retro games that maybe you played in the summertime or something.
Okay.
Like Star Tropics?
That's a good one, I guess. Star Tropics, I mean, I always wanted to play Star Tropics. There's a YouTuber who loves that game called Nitro Red. Is that a good game, Star Tropics? I hear it's like basically like Zelda or something.
I think that one's a little rough.
Yeah, I never played it.
what I dove into, it was a little rough. So I have the SNES games from SNES Online up here right now. So I guess one of my questions is, Tim, like, what are games that you guys did in the past that you perhaps don't want to repeat? I mean, because some of these are immediately, I would replace Super Metroid in a heartbeat.
Right, yeah. Super Metroid was one they did already.
Yeah,
In the past.
What about Kirby's Dream Land 3? That's one I've never played all the way through.
Okay.
You know, since I mentioned Mother earlier, what about Earthbound? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of easy to get to. You can play on the Wii U or the Classic Edition. But then again, it's kind of an RPG, so that's going to take a minute for people to beat by next month.
Yeah, but it is something, though, too, depending on the game we pick, if we want to do it in parts, we can. So we can put that down, and if it is a long game, I'll look at how long it takes to beat the game.
Well, from what the website said, how long to beat is like 18 hours, so it's understandable. But yeah, what games have you done in the past, Tim, so I can like know what to say?
Sure. I would say just throw out anything, and then I will look it up to make sure. But a lot of these have been games that we've done before, but I will have to definitely make sure.
It's not a Nintendo game, but I could play it on Nintendo Switch. I kind of want to say Crash 3 because it's my favorite video game. But technically, that's not a Nintendo game, even though you can basically play the Insane Trilogy on the Switch. So technically, if it's a Nintendo game, I don't know.
I gotcha. I see.
It's one of my favorite games. It's one of those games. It's my comfort game. I can always go back to whenever I want to. I should make an addition to play it once a year or something. But then I haven't really beat the
final level. I used to play Earthbound. Well,
I'll say probably the main Nintendo games, published games, are probably the ones that were done first, like the Super Metroid or, you know, Super Mario World. I don't think Star Fox was done, or even Kirby Dream Land 3.
Yeah, I've never played Kirby Dream Land 3. So
it's always lived in the shadow of Kirby Superstar.
Yeah,
it came out after, but it feels like it should have came out before.
I'm in.
The one I was looking at was the Super Mario RPG because of the recent announcement of Paper Mario.
That's another game that's on my backlog that I want to beat. I kind of started playing that again, but I didn't get around to doing it. But like you said earlier, it's on the backlog. I'll probably beat it after I beat Mother 3 if my Everdrive doesn't come in the mail. I was also saying maybe Wild Guns, because that was announced for the Switch Online, and I heard it's a pretty fun Super Nintendo game. Also, because I think they have like a remastered edition called Reloaded or something. That was out a while ago.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, that's coming soon. That's on the coming soon right now.
Yeah, the Wild Guns we could do once that comes out on the, was it 20th? May 20th?
Yeah. Yes. I forgot the date. Oh, I know what? Here's a good one. What about, this is also coming on the Switch Online. What about Pound of the Pawn? That's kind of a fun game. You ever played that?
That's the new one also that's coming out.
That's the original one. The one that we got in the States is called Tetris Attack, but I guess Nintendo's like, you know, they were like, oh, maybe I might as well give you this version of the game instead. So, I mean, I feel like we're not going to get any Tetris Attack anymore because of the whole thing. But yeah. I don't know, like, it's a fun game, Tetris Attack. I don't know if you ever played it, but like, it's kind of like the things go up and then like you have to like move things around, and then it's very stress-inducing because just like the thing gets at the top, you have like 5 seconds to do some random combo before it goes down again. Yeah. It gets very competitive. Like my friend Rob, he was in a tournament for that at Long Island Retro. His match was like 10 whole minutes. I was just then going back and forth with combos and stuff like that. That was a sight to see.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got you know, all kinds of love for Tetris. I mean, that was. I mean, when I got my Game Boy, I almost didn't buy any other games for it because, I mean, it was just like the perfect
game right. for it.
If you guys have about an hour, the Gaming Historian channel did a great piece all about the history of Tetris, like the story of how it came about, you know, this whole, like this game developed in the shadow of communist Russia. And it's really fascinating, actually.
I love how the story broke out about the girl who married Tetris came out while he was developing that story. I don't remember that story about the girl who married an NES cartridge of Tetris, and then like people were like, "I could put that in the videos." Like, oh, don't think I want to. Some random stuff that you hear on the news sometimes.
Yeah.
What about the first Paper Mario game? That's you could play that on the Wii U still, and you know the new one's coming out soon, and it's not as easy acceptable as like Mario RPG, but you know if you have a Wii U, you can always download the Virtual Console. So I'm not sure if that. counts for your criteria or not, Tim?
Yeah, it's a bit, if it's available there, I wonder if it's available on the 3DS Virtual Console too. I'm not sure.
You can't play 64 on the 3DS. I'm talking about the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask, where was the original Paper Mario from? Was that Super Nintendo or 64? Nintendo 64? Oh, okay.
It was originally supposed to be Super RPG 2, but then Square was like, Nintendo, you suck for doing cartridges. So they were like, okay, fine, we'll make a Paper Mario then. And then the rest was history.
Yeah.
Make a Paper Mario, send it to the house of your door. Let's see what else. June. Put us on the spot here, Tim. I'm trying to think hard what game to do.
It's all right. Like I said, we don't have to come up with it now. We can, you guys can put it in the chat if you guys got something you want to talk, you know, what you got, if you got something. I wrote down the ones you guys came up with so far.
I put a vote in for Super Punch Out, Tim.
Super Punch Out.
That's a good one. I never understand how to play that game. It's like, you have, like, the bar that goes, like, from the top, and you have to, like, hit it at the right moment. That's a complicated game.
It's actually more like, resembles the arcade version of Punch-Out when it was, like, first made
for
the arcade. It was sort of like, you know, dual screens before it was cool.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, and they have to make Little Mac. They have to make Little Mac so small that you can see around him.
Right.
Yeah. See how they replicate that, and because that game's on the Arcade Archives, the original Punch Out, and to just see how they did it. You have like one screen at the top, one screen at the bottom. It's very unique how they actually replicate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. What happened in June? RPGs. Someone mentioned Mario RPG. That's a good one we can try and do, even though that's also a long game. But someone already said that.
Yeah, Super Mario RPG was one, and then you got the Paper Mario one that you mentioned. It's another good one, too. Then we got the Kirby Dream Land 3 that was thrown out there, Earthbound. Wild Guns, Panel Dupont, and Super Punch-Out so far is what I wrote down.
There's another game coming out for the Switch online called Rygar. Is that game any good? Because I heard that game is pretty good.
Yep, that's on the list. Rygar is a NES game.
On a chain, it's like a crazy yo-yo thing.
Yeah, I never took that.
Am I thinking of the right game?
Yes.
No, that's Star Tropics. I'm talking about Rygar. That was they announced Rygar for the Switch online, and some people are saying, "What the heck is this game?" Some people are saying, "No, Rygar is going to be so great."
Dan was like out of his seat when he heard Rygar was coming to NES, so he seemed to be excited about that one.
Like that's one thing I like about Switch Online. I mean, I know people kind of, you know, BS on it and stuff like that, but it's like, no, we have like all these games for like $20 a month. It can't be that.
Yeah,
it's like some of the they already have all the classic games. They're like super. A lot of people are kind of when they announced that, a lot of people were like asking, "Where the heck is Donkey Kong Country?" And you hear a lot of people asking themselves, oh, they're going to do something special for Donkey Kong Country. Maybe they're going to do, like, the thing they did for the Wii U where they made it a big deal. It's like, oh, three Donkey Kong Country games and all three Donkey Kong Land games are coming on the Nintendo Wii U.
They got to do something in September to keep those people paying.
I really hope Donkey Kong Country because I want to play that game, but I'll admit I use save states. I'm sorry. I'm not a...
Hey, you play how you want to play. You play to have fun is how I look at it.
That's how I do. I have Wii Homebrew, you know, because I got kids, I got a busy life, you know, I can't always start from stage one all over again. No.
People probably look down.
Oh, hey, man, Iron Man mode.
Yes.
Let's see.
And then there's the other one that's coming out too that they're releasing with those games we mentioned, the Wild Guns and Panel Dupont. There's Operation Logic Bomb. I have no idea what that is, but I just wanted to throw that out there. That's another Super NES game that they're releasing on the same day. But I've got a lot to start with. Like I said, you can drop it in the dinner table. Actually, we'll put it in Retro Rewind channel in Discord if you come up with anything else. And I'll put the question out there for anybody else in Discord as well to come up with something. Hopefully we'll come up with something by the end of next week that we can play maybe it's something we can work off for the next couple months as well. So maybe the top one or two selections, we can say, okay, we're going to do this one and then do this next one. Or depending on the timing, I might say, let's work on this one and this one. These were the top two or something like that. So we'll kind of play with it and see how it goes. But I wanted to get you guys' thought on that. So appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. You guys full? You guys good? Hope you guys have your drinks. I forgot mine. I forgot my water.
Oh, we're supposed to be drinking. There's beers in the fridge.
There's a beer. You can have a beer or a drink or something like that.
I have some by now very cold tea.
I got a cup at least. All right. So what I like to do is at least send off with a cheers. And so if everybody's got something, a drink that they can grab, or a glass or beer. Perfect. Everybody's got something. So with that, I'd like to say may your gaming time be plentiful and fun, your backlog short, and you and your family is blessed. Good night, peeps.
Good night, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you all for attending.
Thanks. Delicious. Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.